Welcome to Venturi's Voice. I'm Andy Davis. Venturi's Voice brings together thought leaders from a variety of industries who are taking the most innovative approaches to leadership and staffing. Imagine having a mix of experienced mentors sharing their secrets on leadership, recruiting, onboarding, engagement, and motivating, as well as stories on life lessons they've learned along the way. And it's free. If you're the head of a major corporation leading a team of hundreds or about to take on your first leadership role, this podcast is for you. This show is about you, and we're here to help you become the best leader you can be. Stay up to date with the latest shows by subscribing on iTunes and SoundCloud, as well as signing up to the newsletter at venturi-group.com, where you can find the latest IT jobs, talent, and blogs on all things leadership, staffing, and development. I'd love to hear from you, so drop me a line anytime via email at andy.davis@venturi-group.com. Any feedback or requests are always welcome. Enjoy the show. Today's guest is Ben Saunders, the COO at Pocket.
Yeah, so, I mean, thanks anyway. I'm really looking forward to the chat. I want to learn about, the progression as much as possible. The first thing I suppose to note is, in your kind of background, is I suppose the varied size, and I suppose what comes along with that is levels of sort of bureaucracy that you've probably had over throughout your career. I know you're now with a company that's, they're relatively smaller, and I'm sure that has its challenges. But, you know, I myself have a background in startups, which really gave me a great, start to my career. And now as I start to work with, bigger and bigger companies, it's a whole different kind of environment and approach to the workplace. I'd be keen to hear about kind of some of your experiences with anything kind of similar to that, and kind of what path that's led you down, and some of the lessons you've learned.
Yeah. So I guess if we take a step back, I started at Bain, Bain & Company, as a management consultant, and management consulting is incredibly, I would say, hierarchical. I don't think they're very big companies. So Bain & Company, the London office is only about 500 people. So, it's not a massive, massive company, but what it is very hierarchical. And I actually think that is a really good way to start a career, because you learn like a core skill set from the get-go, and then you also kind of gradually get introduced to more senior stakeholders, because one of the things about a startup, which I guess is good, is you get given exposure to a lot of stuff very quickly. The flip side is you might not know what to do with all that exposure, and you don't have necessarily the base of training that management consulting provides. So, I was given, a really good core, training. And then when I moved to Worldpay, I was lucky because, I had been there as a management consultant already. So, I knew the executive team. I was comfortable around the executive team. So I was able to work very closely with them, and it was a bigger company. But again, because of, it wasn't the biggest company in the world, and also because of its structure, where it was private equity owned, and they were pumping a lot of money into it to kind of make it a different sort of company. I was on the e-commerce side, and that was basically like one big startup. So by the time I moved to a startup, I had seen, various types of companies. So it gave me the context to like build towards what kind of culture, the CEO and myself wanted to create at Pocket, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, it does. I've heard that quite a few times, and I do have a few friends that did start their careers out in management consulting, and I think that's it is an interesting way to start, because I think you get such exposure to a lot of different companies, and certainly with that, as importantly, you get exposure to a lot of different people and the way that people like to work, and it probably sets you up really well for when you get into those senior roles. And the people management side of things, becomes more prominent in the activities that you kind of work with on a daily basis. I'm sure you know, when you first got your, you know, first senior role and, you know, you started managing a team, you know, it's a whole new skill set in itself. And there isn't, you know, a one size fits all option when it comes to people. It really has to be kind of bespoke. And I think the only way that you can really learn is just by exposure to a lot of different people and exposure to a lot of different scenarios. So, I would imagine that, you know, Bain and Company was a fantastic way to kind of get the ball rolling.
Yeah, I think, look, you know, one of the things that I've learned about being in a startup is, you know, the most crucial things you need to be able to have are the ability to process and stakeholder manage, you know, and I know that sounds like business school, you know, jargon, but the ability to deal with third party stakeholders, the ability to deal with, you know, senior execs, the ability to deal with, you know, your team, all that. And then also manage a process where if you know something needs to be done in 2 months time or a week's time or, you know, take your pick. How do you build towards that? How do you break it down into smaller pieces? How do you make sure that everybody's, you know, driving towards that? And management consulting teaches all that. And then it also, I think, just teaches you how to be quite resourceful, where if something isn't going, you know, the right way, how do you figure out an alternative path, you know, to output? Because the thing about management consulting is, you know, your output is a project, right? You're paid to do something. So you don't really have the option of saying, oh, this isn't feasible. It's, you're constantly having to figure out ways, you know, to get stuff done. So I think that kind of, that background is really, really, really good in, for a startup. And, you know, for me, you know, I think, when I look to hire people, startups, yeah, management consulting is definitely something I look favorably upon, and, you know, Bain in particular.
Yeah, it's interesting. And now you have those experiences and you're on the other end where you look to bring people on. You know, the COO role in itself is quite an intriguing one, because I have had, like several COOs on the podcast before, and depending on like the size of the company, who they work for, industry, etc., you know, the role seems to vary slightly. You know, what's your kind of take at the moment on, you know, your role as the COO? And is there, you know, some element of truth to that, that the role can be quite varied?
I think it's incredibly varied. I think if you talked to 10 COOs, each of them would have a totally different role. You know, it's, I think it very much depends on the company you're in. So, you know, I think my role is very much, kind of being the number two to the CEO and founder. So, you know, the CEO founder is, you know, he's led the company. He still, you know, leads the company. He brought me in post Series A. So basically he was needing some, the company had reached a particular stage already that he needed someone to really take on a lot of the day to day and also just be a sounding board for, you know, a lot of things. So I would say my role is, for starters, just, you know, working with the CEO on all of the macro level, you know, high level strategy of the company. So where are we trying to go? You know, what type of products should we have? How should we be organized? You know, big strategic questions like that, you know, international expansion, yes or no, you know, all that. Then there's a piece all about, I guess, day-to-day management. So that's the customer service, that's ops, you know, like just keeping the company moving. You know, there's strategic projects and new product developments or just general kind of cross-functional things. There's fraud, risk, and compliance. And then there's, you know, BI and insights. So all of the numbers, you know, trying to understand, you know, what's going on with the company. So all of that sits, you know, within my remit. And then I think the last thing is just kind of keeping the company moving forward. So coordinating with the development team and the marketing team, you know, making sure everybody's doing what they should be. You know, making sure that, you know, we as a company are kind of pulling in the same direction. So I would say my role is quite full on because it touches all bits of the business. But again, I think that that's where the consulting background is super helpful because you know, as a consultant, you kind of have to develop expert status very quickly on things that you might not be necessarily familiar with, you know, from your background. So, you know, I'm able to, you know, I've been able at least thus far to kind of get up to speed and kind of just push things along. So I would say, you know, the way I perceive my role is just, you know, seconding the CEO to make sure that, you know, the company is just moving in the right direction on everything. And we have insight every step of the way as to what's going on and what we need to be doing to constantly be growing.
It's such an exciting space that kind of you seem to be working in. You know, was that a big draw for you, you know, when you decided to kind of take on the startup role, you know, and I suppose beyond that, you know, is the role and the space in which the company kind of occupies, is that a big proponent to, you know, what engages you and motivates you, you know, while, during your time?
I would say what motivated me was the mission of the company. So, you know, Pocket is aiming to become the world's most inclusive banking platform, right? So we are trying to offer a series of products to customers who are traditionally shut out of the banking sector, right? Whether that be because they don't have the right documentation, you know, identification, you know, maybe they have bad experiences with the banks in the past, and you know, maybe they've had debt problems. So what has motivated me and continues to motivate me is, you know, when I see reviews where it's someone who says, look, I've never been able to open up a bank account before because, you know, I didn't have a photo ID or something, and Pocket has helped me. So I think the fintech sector, I didn't even know I was getting into it really. Like, I wasn't thinking about that. You know, to a certain extent, it was being in the right place at the right time, but it was much more, I was attracted to the particular type of customers we were trying to serve and the problems that we were trying to solve for them, rather than, oh wow, you know, it's a challenger bank, that, you know, that sounds so cool, you know, because this was before the days where I think anybody knew about any of this stuff. So we were, you know, kind of small. Revolut wasn't out, Monzo wasn't out, you know, so there was no cachet to doing this. It was more just the, you know, the customer stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, building the team as well, I'm sure you've seen, you know, that growth that, during the time from the Series A to, you know, maybe, I don't know whether they raised another round, but, you know, moving forward, is it important that the people you're bringing in now have that, you know, that belief in the vision as well? You know, is that a big part of it?
Yeah, I mean, I think people who succeed in startups, the thing is for them, a company's not just a job, but it's like, it's a mission, and it's like, you know, to a certain extent, a lifestyle. So, you know, one of the things we're trying to do, you know, for example, is we're doing the strategic assessment right now of how do we ensure that our customers are getting the best possible experience, right? Every step of the way. You know, you know, are we giving the best possible customer experience, right? And like, what I want and what I look for is the kind of people who will say, you know, I am making it my mission to, you know, to put the customers first and, you know, really, 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 you know, think through every aspect of this product, every aspect of the customer journeys, to make it that, you know, the customer's having the best possible experience. And if something goes wrong, they take it personally. Cause, you know, I certainly do. You know, I got married like a month ago, I think. And even on my honeymoon, I was sitting there checking emails, making sure everything was okay. Not because I felt like I had to, but because I wanted to, because, you know, to me, yeah, serving these customers is so important. And, you know, we you know, when someone, like, if someone has an Amazon package that's delayed, life goes on. But if someone's money doesn't reach their accounts, particularly if they're vulnerable, that's a real problem. So, you know, any problem that affects the customers affects me, you know, and I think that as I scale up the team, as Pocket scales, as Viraj, you know, thinks about his exec, sorry, the CEO thinks about his exec team and, you know, we think about just generally the culture that we want at Pocket, it's that kind of sense of urgency that's one of the most important things to us.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a really interesting mission, as I said earlier, and I think you're absolutely right. You know, I think people have to be bought into the culture. Probably it's more paramount that that's the case in startups. I think certainly to be, you know, kind of successful, it's the ones that get it right. You know, my experiences when I was in California were that, you know, and I was in a startup. We were early stage and managed to grow, but that was, you know, during my time as in an incubator, in an accelerator program. The teams, you know, when I look back, the teams that managed to be successful, they kind of had that innate, you know, culture from the very get-go. And I always struggled to find sort of some consistency in what was the path to success, what startups were successful, and is there any kind of commonalities between them? You know, the only one I could ever find was just, you know, and I probably couldn't quantify it if I tried, but was that the culture and the bond between the people seemed to be there at the very early stage. They seemed to have it nailed down about, you know, the type of company they wanted to be and the way that they were going to go about things. And those were the ones that when I look back tended to actually have any kind of level of success. So I think it's so important, and it does sound like kind of fluff type of stuff, but you know, when you think about, you know, engineers, people who are working within technology now, you know, this kind of thing is demanded because they have to now be able to conceptualize the business outcomes and be able to actually kind of articulate their points to non-technical people and such. So, you know, having the support and the confidence that call comes along with that culture, it really does matter. And, you know, it's always surprising still to me, you know, how many companies don't put an emphasis on that. And, you know, the ones that do, the level of success that they manage to attain.
Yeah, no, I'm in total agreement. I think, you know, one of the things that we have constant conversations about is culture, because there's a real trade-off between just saying, look, you know, we need to get stuff done. Let's just bring people in, you know, maybe who are subject matter, you know, experts or something like that, versus, you know, like, why don't we make sure that everybody that comes in, you know, I think the test is, can you interview someone and immediately say, okay, this person's a fit, right? And if you can get to a successful company, everybody knows the fit. And it's one of these things that you don't even necessarily need to express out loud, because it's an unspoken thing. And, yeah, I mean, I think, look, we're getting there. You know, we're not perfect, but, you know, Bain, for example, is, I think, one of the most successful. It's typically voted, you know, the best company in the UK to work for, you know, wins all these awards. And I think one of the things that it has is it has an amazing culture, like an amazing, amazing, amazing culture. And you know what it means to work there from the beginning. And so, you know, that's one of the things that I've been trying to bring, you know, bring to the company, is that kind of cultural identification.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a very positive thing to bring. You know, moving forward and you know, the role that I suppose, you know, technology is playing, you know, from a macro perspective, you know, how aware are you having to be of these kind of changes, you know, both, I suppose, technically and just what's going on from a governance perspective and all these kind of things? You know, how much of your work now is really just looking at things externally and keeping engaged with the market?
So I think, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff to keep in mind, right? So there's, I think, as you say, there are new technologies, right? There are, new entrants, right? So there are companies coming in who offer the opportunity to be a bank in the box, right? So all of the services in one thing. So we're constantly trying to figure out a way, you know, trying to think through, can we simplify our supply chain, for example. I think that there's quite a lot of fraud, risk, and compliance stuff that we got to keep in mind as well, because the thing about fintech is it's a heavily, heavily regulated industry, right? So there are tons of different bodies that are trying to, that are coming down with regulations all the time. So you have to deal with the FCA, you have to deal with other European-wide regulations. And so part of what we have to do is constantly stay abreast of those type of things, the implications for our customers, and then what we need to be doing as a business to stay ahead of it. It's not the easiest thing, but if you want an easy lifestyle or easy strategic stuff, like going into a fintech company is not for you. You know, the very nature of fintech, because it's people's money, it involves so many regulatory and technology based decisions that you have to constantly be assessing. So yeah, I think the external stuff is incredibly important.
So when you kind of look back, at your kind of journey, as we were kind of briefly discussing earlier, from the consultancy, even prior to that, is there been kind of a consistency in your approach to things, that you kind of held true to yourself?
I think it's been constantly about learning, right? So I'm trying to always be very flexible and, it's a good question. I think I start from the perspective of everything is about solutions, right? So, there's a lot of things changing on the ground all the time. The important thing is knowing, all right, where are we trying to go? And then what do we have to do to get there? So if we know, for example, we want to release all of these different products to, to create a platform for our, for our customers to, to properly, have a, a full banking thing. It's what are all of the different steps, to get there, and how do we have to organize internally to get there? And if there are any setbacks, how do we respond? So I think, when I came in to the business, what I tried to do for about 6 months was just learn, listen to the CEO, founder, understand, how the business has been running, understand, what the crucial components, of the business were, particularly on the tech side where I'd had a bit less experience. And then, the last, year and a half, it's been about, okay, I know where we're trying to get to. So why don't we just stay relentlessly focused on those things that are of most importance to us? Not kind of get too bogged down in the day to day things that could potentially derail us, if that makes any sense. So I would say from a leadership perspective, it's just been about trying to remove roadblocks from everybody on my team to kind of focus on the stuff that adds the highest value. Like I think, I forgot what it's called, but in Bain we used to call it 80-20, which is, depending on how you define it, 80% of the value of something will come from only 20% of something. So what I try to do is I try to make it as 80-20 as possible, where all our teams are only focusing on the most crucial things for the business. So I think that's the core philosophy I try to live by, and also just keep learning and keep applying those learnings into the day to day. So I think, one of the things about a startup is one of the opportunities is there are, particularly like in our case where we don't have, a formalized HR thing or anything like that, like we can have quite a lot of flexibility and learn from our mistakes quick and incorporate those learnings. So I'm always trying to do that, where if we tried something one way and it didn't work, that's okay. Why don't we figure out a way to get to the same result, via a different thing, or, talk to my team. And if there's something that I'm doing that's not, helping them out, or they need help, they need me to do something to start helping them out, I'll add that. So I think open communication and constant course correction based on that communication is really important too.
Yeah, it's awesome, mate. It's really good stuff. And, I'm sure that you're excited about, what the kind of future holds, not just for Pocket, but you know, also for yourself as you kind of continue to learn. I think, you know, when you talk to a lot of people, it is a constant thing. You have to have that hunger to learn and be willing to kind of step outside, you know, your comfort zone to a certain degree. You know, with that being said, you know, what is there some of the type of things that, you know, you're excited about seeing, you know, in the coming years for yourself, you know, whether it be, you know, learning new experiences or, you know, from a works perspective?
Yeah, I mean, I think the most interesting thing about where we are right now is we're growing, right? So when I came into the business, we were probably, I don't know, maybe 3.5x smaller than we are now. So, you know, and we're on course, obviously, to be, you know, 4x by the end of this year. So, you know, we've quadrupled in size across all metrics, you know, number of customers, amount of, you know, financial activity, you know, the team is 4x as big. So what I'm most excited about over the next couple of years is, you know, our growth. So adding all of these new products, you know, getting all of these new customers, and how do we maintain all of the good stuff we've been doing, you know, at scale, right? Because one of the most interesting things about where we've been thus far is, you know, we've been able to, as a team, scale up, right? And, you know, keep a lot of the stuff that makes our company great. So it'll be really interesting to see what that's like when we're an additional 3x, right? So, and with a lot more complexity to our product offering. So I can't wait, you know, we're coming out with loans. We're going to come out with some other interesting new products that I think will really help our customers. So what does Pocket feel like when it's 500,000, you know, active customers in a month, you know, doing 15 different products? I mean, like, I can't wait to see that. And I can't wait to see what the company looks like.
Exciting times, mate. I'm quite envious, actually. I think it's particularly exciting, and the space you're in is really compelling. So, you know, thanks for sharing with us today, Ben, mate. Really interesting stuff, and you know, some of the things about that you've held true and the journey. You know, I think a lot of people will find, you know, really interesting, and hopefully try and emulate some of those practices. Thanks for taking the time, mate. It was I really enjoyed the chat.
Thanks for listening to Venturi's Voice. Please make sure you subscribe at iTunes or SoundCloud, or check out the website venturi-group.com, and keep up to date with the latest IT jobs, talent, news, and podcasts. Or drop me a line. It's andy.davis@venturi-group.com. Any feedback, topics, or guest suggestions are always welcome. And thanks again for listening to the show. See you next time.